Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our lives. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Tonight, very quickly, I'll just share the word of God to help you know how to receive miracles. Because some of us need to receive miracles before we give miracles. There are dimensions of teachings that empowers you to give, and there are other dimensions of teachings that empowers you to receive. Tonight, I want everybody to receive a miracle, so that you will experience him for yourself. I left Lagos to Port Harcourt. When I was done teaching, I told them, make a declaration now. In less than 1 minute, over 30 persons were healed instantly. In fact, when I said, if you have a touch, lift your hand, almost 1,000 lifted their hands. I said, no, it's not everybody. I said, drop your hands. I mean those who have a touch. They lifted their hands. I now reduced it. I said, only those who have tangible miracle. I had to streamline it, because almost the whole church received the touch. And I said, the reason I did it that way is so that you can go to the market with power. So that you can go to your office with power. Because the rise of the race of miracle workers is about to begin. And you are part of them. In the name of Jesus. John chapter 10 verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. This is the threefold operation of the devil in the world. Anybody who is under the influence of the devil is suffering one, two, or three of these things. Either he's losing something, or something is being destroyed in his life, or death is reigning. Listen, people are suffering in this world. When Jesus sent us out, he was not trying to start a religious movement. He was trying to save humanity. People are suffering. the pains that many go through, if you witness it, you will literally be heartbroken. I heard the story of a woman that had an ulcer on the leg, and the injury ate up part of her bone. And so every evening, the moment is 4:30 to 5, the pains become unbearable. And she will shout like that till your morning the next day. And she has had that challenge for more than 11 years. Imagine somebody shouting with pains every night for 11 years. What we are talking about is not a joke. Power is not drama. It's not something God gives you to create impression. It's to help humanity. People are in pains. This is why Jesus moved from city to city, from village to village. He couldn't rest. People are dying. At one point he said, I am stretched. That means Jesus was so stretched. He was so broken by reason of the stress he subjected himself to. Yet he will not stop. If you study Matthew chapter 8 to Matthew chapter 10, you saw Jesus moving from place to place. After 3 days on the mountain, he descended. He saw a man that was leprous. That means that man could not climb. So the man was waiting for him at the foot of the mountain. The moment he came down, the man said, if you are willing, you can make me whole. He said, I'm willing, stretch your hands. The man was healed. He was on his way to Peter's house. Because while they were on the mountain, Peter's mother-in-law was sick. He came and said, arise. The woman stood up. The fever left her. That same evening, in verse 16, the Bible said the whole city came to him. The question is, who were the people he was ministering to? A whole city came and they struggled to touch him that they may be healed. And he healed them. And he escaped into the backside to pray. The disciples came to him. He said, let's go to the other side. And he crossed over and healed the madman of Gadara. And crossed over because they chased him from the land. And came. And he continued like that. Because many are dying. As we are talking now, if we took a census here and say, if your relative is sick, raise your hand, you'll be shocked. So this is not something that is far off. This is something that is with us. Even while we are yet here, many are sick that will be healed tonight. Because the devil cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He's a wicked entity. For some persons, he doesn't just kill them. He put them in pains for many years because he enjoys seeing men tormented. I was sharing with them in Port Harcourt and I told them, God had no weakness until he created man. The only weakness the devil discovered in God was his love for humanity. And so one job the devil does is to plunder humankind. Because he knows that the only way he can get to God is to deal with man. It was because of man that God condescended and left his throne. It was because of man that God took upon himself sin. It was because of man that God died. God was buried. To show you God's connection to man. And the devil knows. And so one thing he wants to do is to plunder man. Because so long as man is in pains, God will not rest. This is why God has created many provisions for us to live life to the full. In that scripture, he said, but I am come that you may live life and life to the full. So God wants everyone to live life to the full. So we need to understand the provisions that makes for living life to the full. Because when the devil begins to buffet you, he doesn't have mercy. Look at two scriptures very quickly. John chapter 5 from verse 1. Let me read two scriptures for you. Yes, go to verse 2. It said, now there was at Jerusalem by the sheep market, a pool, which is also called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In this lay a great multitude. Are you seeing that? Not one, not two, a great multitude of impotent folks, of blind, of hurt, of withered, waiting for the move of the waters. So, see the number of people the devil was wreaking havoc on. A great multitude of sick, impotent folks were gathered in one location. That is to let you know there are more. But these were the ones who discovered that there was healing here. So they came. There were many who couldn't come here. So there are a great multitude that the devil is tormenting every day. This is why you must know how to receive power. This is why you must know how to manifest power. So that you will stop the works of the devil. It's not a show. It's to help humanity. In verse 3, in verse 4, it says, "For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the waters." It says, "Whosoever then, first after troubling the waters, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease." So this was a provision God created through the ministry of the angelic. In verse 5, go further. It says, "And a certain man was there, which had had an infirmity for 38 years. Whatever this infirmity was, the Bible didn't tell us the details. But the devil kept him here for 38 years. And there was no going back. You see the level of torture the devil puts men. And this man, the Bible said he was bedridden. So for 38 years, he was lying down. He couldn't as much as stand up. He peed on himself. He did everything on himself. Helpless, vulnerable, weak, and dying. That's what gives the devil joy. Until Jesus found him. If Jesus had not found this man, he would have been there until the day of his death. Number 2, look at John chapter 9 from verse 1. I'm trying to let you know so that your heart will open tonight. Not just to receive, but to become aggressive to touch the power of God. He said Jesus passed by and he saw a man which was blind from birth. Imagine somebody was born and he was born blind, and this person is now a man. So all his life he didn't know anything like sight. Everything he knew was what he was told. He depended on people for all his life. Maybe tomorrow, stand in front of your house and close your eyes. You will be shocked how noisy and scary this world is. The reason this world is not scary to you is because you can see and interpret things. Go and stand by the roadside and close your eyes. Hear the sound of trailer, the sound of different vehicles only. You will have heart attack. Because you cannot interpret anything. You will depend on people to tell you this was the state of this man from birth. The question is, what was his offense? You don't have to do anything. The devil is wicked. In fact, when the disciples saw him, go to verse 2. He said the disciples asked him, "Master, who did sin that this man, is it this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus said, "Sin is not the matter here. This is the wickedness of the devil." The answer of Jesus in verse 3 said, Jesus answered, "Neither had this man sinned nor his parents." This is the wickedness of the devil. However, it has become an opportunity for God to manifest his glory. So, every one of us who carries the power of God, we are giving God the opportunity to manifest his glory. Otherwise, the wickedness of the devil will continue. So, anywhere you are the hope of the people there. But that cannot be except as you know how to dispense of the power of God. So this is a serious business, because the devil seems to be prospering in what he is doing, but a generation must rise to say stop. a generation must rise to tell the devil, get back. But you see, that generation must understand how these things work. I've seen many young people that the devil wrecked for no reason. One of the ladies I prayed for recently, a very pretty young lady with a vibrant future, knocked down and the bone was broken. All her life, she would have been carrying, resting on a crutch. What would have been the quality of her life? When she sees her friends, what would be going on in her heart? Just making her hopeless for no reason. Because the devil is wicked. So tonight, we must understand how to receive from God. And not just receive from God, but we must also understand how to manifest God. Because when you receive a miracle, it's also an induction into the realms of miracles. And so I will begin tonight by showing us how to receive miracles. But before I show you, I want to give you some assurance levels. Because there are guarantee levels to these things. Because the problem with many Christians is that they are suffering from uncertainty. Because they think they are not qualified. I want to show you four categories of people who didn't qualify for miracles yet received miracles. Number one, there are those who didn't know Jesus yet received miracles from Jesus. They didn't know him. If those who didn't know Jesus received from him, is it you who is his son that should not receive? I'm trying to give you guarantee levels. The story we read in John chapter 9, if you read it down, go further, let's read that story. You will notice something about this man that was healed. After this man was healed, he went to the temple and they saw him that his eyes had opened. And they asked him, who made you whole? He said, I don't know him. He said, a man told me, your eyes will open. And his eyes opened and he began to see. So the question is, how can a man who didn't know Jesus receive from Jesus? And you who know Jesus think you will have to struggle to receive. In fact, when Jesus met him later, he said, this is the man that told me I could see. And Jesus threw him to the side and said, go and see no more, lest the worst thing befall you. He didn't know him. It was when he met Jesus again that Jesus introduced himself to him that I am the Messiah. That was when he worshipped him. So he never knew who healed him. You who is sitting here, if you don't know, at least you know about Jesus. So as far as guarantee level is concerned, you qualify more to receive. But the good news with miracles is that nobody qualifies. It's a function of the mercy of God. This is why you must insist that miracle will be your birthright. And the realm of miracles is the realm you will walk in from today. The second category of people are those who knew that Jesus can't say no to a helpless person. Because there were some who knew him and they knew that if you are helpless, Jesus lacks the ability to say no to you. His compassion won't let him. There is a raging compassion in Christ that makes it impossible for Christ to say no to anybody who is in need. In Matthew chapter 8, from verse 1, I'll show you three scenarios. It said, when he came down from the mountain, great multitude followed. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord. So this one knows him. And because he knows him, there is something he knows about him. It said, if thou will, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. That's compassion. And said to him, I will, be thou clean. And he said, immediately the leprosy left him. The question is, have you not known God enough to know that he's compassionate? If he's compassionate, why won't you believe that because of his compassion, he can't leave you where you are? These are triggers to activating miracles. That's why I told you, sometimes it's not about shouting, it's about knowing certain things. Let me show you a woman that knows the compassion of Jesus to a very dangerous degree. Matthew 15 from verse 21, the Canaanite woman. This woman came to Jesus. He said, Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. So this one knew him, and she knew something about him. Imagine the response Jesus gave him, and see the woman's response. But he answered her not a word. So the first reaction of Jesus was to keep quiet. And the woman won't stop. I know even if you don't want to talk now, your compassion will make you talk. So even though Jesus kept quiet, she kept troubling her until the disciples became offended. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Are you seeing why those who have dangerous faith and those who always carry strange dimensions, you see the things they know that make them operate it. The woman will not back down because she knows that Jesus can't reject anybody who is helpless. There is too much compassion in him. And going further, he said, but he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lordship of the house of Israel. So Jesus said, the assignment I came to do, she's not included. So even somebody who is not included in what God has can be included if he can route through his compassion. Now, this is Jesus talking. So you know he knows what he's saying. I'm not sent to her type. For now, my assignment is only Israel. When I resurrect, everybody can be included. But for now, my assignment is only to Israel. As if that was not enough, go to the next verse. Then she came. I won't stop. And worshipped. Worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Hear Jesus' response. If you are the one, trust me, you will go from here. He said, but he answered and said, it is not meet to give the children's bread and cast it to dogs. You would think Jesus literally was insulting her. This is the figurative speech. This is Jesus outrightly rejecting to help her. But the woman will not stop. You know what she said to Jesus? See, there are those who surprise God. There are those who shock God. Literally, they put God to shock. And God is wondering, how do you know this? I know this exists, but how do you know it? Who taught you? And this is what she said. Truth, Lord, yet. Somebody will say yet this evening. No. You will say yes. Now, this woman was not negotiating with the devil. This is not devil. This is God. God said, I will not heal you. I will not help you. She said, truth. Yet, even the crumbs which fall from the master's table, he said, those ones, the dog qualify for it. So, the crumbs are the ones that flow from his compassion. Even the crumbs, he said, the dog. Jesus looked at her and marveled. Who are you? Who taught you this? He said, oh woman, great is thy faith. You know something that even my disciples don't know. You know something that your generation don't know. Listen, if you will hold on to the compassion of God, protocols can be broken for you. Things can change. Things can change. A generation that knows how to break protocols must emerge. But that generation must route compassion. Another story, very quickly. Listen, in Romans 15 verse 4, it said the things that were written, it said they were written for our learning, so that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. When you read scriptures like this, it will give you comfort. That if God says no, a man insists and his compassion will make him say yes, then the devil is too small to stop me. That means my problem is not the devil. My problem is lack of conviction and persistence. Look at Mark chapter 10 verse 46 quickly. I'm showing you this because it's not just about receiving miracles. There are places you will go to and you will do everything you know. You won't get the answer. If you know things like this, you won't turn back. You will stand there and insist until the answer comes. Because there are possibilities in God. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people following. It said, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. He was not on appointment. He didn't come for a miracle service. He was just about his business of begging. And the Bible said, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, which Jesus? Is he the one of Nazareth? If that one is the one, then today is my day. So it is not God that chooses your day of visitation. You can choose it. Because of compassion, you can say, today is my day. And you will get what you are looking for today. See, somebody will get it today. And he began to cry out, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy. So he knew the gate of compassion. I'm not coming by any qualification. I'm coming because of your mercy. Have mercy. Next verse. See those who know more than God. You know, there are those who have burdens for God. So they defend God's interest. They preempt God and take action on behalf of God that will hurt humanity. Have mercy, he said, and many. And usually there are many. He said they charged him that he should hold his peace. He said, but he cried the more. Because if I leave this window, I may never have it again. He cried the more, thou son of David, have mercy. If you will call on the mercy of God, you must see answer. There are realms of must. There are realms where there's no trial and error. One of such realms is mercy. He said, mercy prevails over judgment. Have mercy. And to their greatest dismay, the man changed Jesus' protocol. He altered Jesus' program. He said, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying, be of good comfort, rise. He called thee. Those were the same people that were stopping him. Now that Jesus has opened the door, they too want to follow the window that he opened. Be of good comfort. He called thee. And the man came. And Jesus, he said, casting away his garment, he came to him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What will thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, that I might receive my sight. Hope you know that this guy had what they call blank check. Anything he calls here, he will collect. That's how mercy works. If you can find God through his compassion, you will operate in the realm of blank checks. Anything you say, you will have. Most times, we are trying to get these things through qualifications. See, when it has to do with authority in the kingdom, God can give you certain consecration requirements. But when it has to do with receiving what God has to offer humanity, there's no qualification. And I will show you as I proceed. So the second category of people are those who know him and they know his compassion. So the first are those who don't know him. He heals them. The second are those who know him and know his compassion. Then you have the third category. These ones, they know him, But there's something they know about him. They know that he has too much power. He doesn't need to notice for them to collect what they are looking for. You know, when you walk with a wealthy man, sometimes he says, go and wash my clothes. As you are carrying the clothes to the dry cleaner, you are checking the pocket. He has too much. That one, you don't need to ask him. Sometimes, even shoe, you will find money there. If he says, come and dress my room, you sweep with caution. As you are sweeping, you can find a dollar bill. Because the money is too much. So, when you walk around some wealthy people, you don't need to say, please give me money. That you are there, money will flow. That's how this thing works. So, there are those who know that the power level is too much. So, what you need to do is, in case he's busy, just go and collect what you are looking for and go away. These ones, they are not even interested in relationship, yet they are receiving. Now, as a Christian, your priority should be relationship. But what I'm saying is that you can still receive when you don't have relationship. That's the level of his benevolence. Because of his benevolence, he makes excessive power available. In Luke 6:19, hear what the Bible said. It said the whole multitude sought to touch him. Nobody is saying, Lord, I want to know you and the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your suffering. No, they didn't come for that. Now remember, I said that is what you should seek. But in case you don't have relationship, it can't even stop you from receiving. God is too benevolent. He said they didn't come for relationship. He said they sought to touch him. And he said, for they went out of him virtue and healed them all. Not for having relationship, for touching. Because the power is too much. Why is this important? To let you know that your problem is not as big as the power that is available. That's why I say where sin abounds, I say grace abounds much more. You are the one thinking your problem is bigger than God's power. If you leave this meeting tonight and you come into an understanding that what I'm going through is nothing compared to the power that is available, you will see your mountain crash down. The reason many never receive is because they exalt their mountains above God's power. But this scripture is to help you know that the power available is bigger than your problem. One of my friends, Reverend Hughes, I see him as a senior friend. And those days on campus, Reverend Hughes used to execute dangerous projects. Students, they will buy equipment worth millions. And we will come to Reverend Hughes and say, come on, how are you doing these things? One day, say, let's go for service. And we went for service. Because my own thought was, these are students. How are they doing these things? And then he came up after preaching a faith-filled message. He now told them, we have a project of 1.8 million. The next thing I heard, everybody shouted, ice cream money. Did you hear what I said? We have a project of 1.8 million. Before he said anything, the whole students shouted, ice cream money. I looked back, who are the people talking? Are they bankers? Are they oil moguls? Students. Because of that mentality he gave them, they were not afraid of any project. And as they called it ice cream money, 3 weeks they have executed that project. Because he made them to understand that nothing is too big for God. So long as you trust God, your status as a student is not a limitation. This is what this scripture is teaching us. Your problem may be a mountain, the power of God is bigger. Your problem may be a mole, the power of God is bigger. The size of your problem is not a factor. It's your consciousness of the power of God that matters. Let me read you another scripture quickly. Mark chapter 5, verse 26 to verse 27. I'm showing you how people receive miracles effortlessly. This is the story of the woman with the issue of blood. She had suffered this affliction for 12 long years. She had spent all her money on doctors. there was no hope anymore until he heard that Jesus was passing. Hear the way the Bible put it here. It said, and she had suffered many things of many physicians. Hope you know, even injection alone is suffering. Sometimes you go to the hospital, those days that I used to patronize hospital. Thank God, now we have graduated from hospitals. And there's nothing the devil can do about it. No, there's nothing he can do about it. This body, injection won't enter again. No, the injection, it won't enter here again. He said, if that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, if it dwells in you, he will quicken. I know a technology of quickening. And if this one, needle won't enter again. Those days, you will go to the hospital. Some nurses to take blood sample. They will puncture you. Puncture. The other day, one was puncturing me. I looked at her. What is wrong with you? You think it's a cow you are choking? Is it a cow you are choking needle on? Some will want to inject you. They will insert it and say sorry. If God doesn't help you, you will slap some people. And some have no character. You are sick, they are angry with you. You are dying, they say, oh God, I beg. They have become so professional that nothing means anything to them. Their conscience is dead. And somebody will die, they will say, I beg, sorry. That's all. You will see a woman pregnant coming to the hospital, a fellow woman who understands that pain. He said, what will be that? I know the place of being strong so that you strengthen the woman, but some of them are callous. A woman comes out of a cesarean session, a nurse is quarreling her. Take it easy, I'll not be all this thing. And then there are other doctors. You are telling them your problem. They are busy doing other things. They will give you drug. When you take for 1 week, you will now come back. They will say, They will change the whole drug they gave you. They won't tell you it's a mistake. They will pack, compose themselves and give you a whole new drug. Meanwhile, they have put chemicals in your body that will be there for 10 years. So the Bible said this woman suffered many things in the hands of physicians. Many sufferings. And she spent all her money. He said, but rather she grew worse. Thank God for doctors and nurses. Don't get me wrong. They are doing a great job. How many of you are a witness? If there were no doctors, I wouldn't be here talking faith. So don't get my point wrong. But this is the point. The Bible said she grew worse. Verse 27. When she heard of Jesus, the Bible says she came in the press. She didn't ask for appointment. She didn't ask for any form of familiarity or sit down counseling. She didn't need anybody. No favors. She came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. She didn't touch Jesus. This is what she knew. I don't need to touch him. There's too much on him. If I touch him, the power may kill me. Let me touch the one that overflows from his garment. That's what she knew. And the Bible said she didn't hold the garment. She touched the hem of his garment. And there was enough power. Because when she read the Torah, the Bible said, behold how beautiful and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. It's like the oil flowing from the head of Aaron through his beard down to his head. So there is enough power at the hem of the garment. Did you not read your Bible? In John 1:16, he said, of his fullness have we all received grace heaped upon grace. So there is too much. There is too much available. Too much for us to scavenge. Where we are in this service now, if we stop with understanding, everybody can be healed. There is too much. We don't even need the anointing to be moving for people to receive. There is too much already. Do you know the surprising part of this story? Jesus was not aware. Jesus was not prepared. Jesus was not ready to give.
It was after she pulled power out of him, he stopped and said, "Who touched me?" That means you don't need God's permission to receive from God. He has too much. So those who have this understanding, they have miracles every day. Every day. Number one, even those who don't know him, he blesses them. Hope you know that in the whole synoptic gospel, nobody was born again. So everybody Jesus healed was not qualified to receive. You don't have to know him, and he doesn't have to know you for you to receive. But you should know him, because in him is eternal life. However, even if you don't know him, you can receive. Number two, even when he's not ready to give, because of his compassion, he will give notwithstanding. Number three, even when he's not aware, the power is too much, you can still receive. If you have this consciousness alone, you are good to go. But you see, what God made available for us is superior to this. The scripture we read in Matthew chapter 15 about the Canaanite woman, in verse 26, Jesus said, "Healing is the children's bread." He said, "It is not meet for me to give the children's bread to the dogs." That means for you, healing is not something you try to get. Healing is God's responsibility towards you. So when you come, you take it. My son is sitting there. He doesn't need to pray for food. The day my son prays to me for food, that means I am either not parenting well or I've become wicked. It's his right to eat. So when Jesus said, "Healing is the children's bread," he's making us understand that it's our right. We don't worship God for it. We don't beg God for it. We take it because God's fatherhood places an obligation on him to heal us. Imagine if you got to my house and then you see my children come out in the morning and say, "Daddy, please, we need a breakfast." You will say, So this apostle is actually a wicked man. That means all he has been doing in church was fake. Meanwhile, that's how we portray God. When we come for a healing service like this, everybody is begging, "Oh God, help us." Is that your father you are begging for bread? That means we don't know that healing is the children's bread. God has made it our right to demand. And so four things I want you to know in order to walk in the realms of miracles tonight is that healing and miracles are your rights in God. He made it so because of his love. Now we thank him because we are grateful, but he sees it as his responsibility. He said, "It is the children's bread." And children don't beg their fathers for bread. Children ask for bread in faith and in confidence, because they know their father sees it as an obligation to give it to them. And in order for this to be true, there are four gateways that God has made available for everyone to receive miracles. Number one is the gateway of the sent word. Every time the word of God is being spoken, God is sending things. In Matthew 8 verse 16, see the way God healed them here. It said, "When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirit with his word and healed all the sick." Every time the word of God is coming forth, miracles are going forth. The problem is that many don't know that the word is not for information. The word is a conveyor of spiritual possibilities. The way God sends miracles is by sending words. In Psalm 107 verse 20, he said, "He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their infirmities." Some of you, as you are hearing what you are hearing now, you will just stand up and discover a pain has left you. Because when the word is coming, as you are receiving it, the word is already planting something on your inside. And there are many words he sent to us. There are many words he gifted us. There are many words he committed to us. Because all of these are envelopes of possibilities in God. Are you following? As I'm talking now, if I say he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we were healed. Healing has already been made available. Anybody can take it. That's how he heals. That's why he kept sending those words. Every scripture is a bullet of possibility. Every scripture is a conveyor of possibility. Every scripture is a carrier. For those who know this, when we are reading the Bible, our goal is not to finish chapters. Although we read many chapters, but when we are reading the Bible, sometimes we hear something, we jump up because we know something just entered us, an errand just came. We know something just moved into us. The other day, I was reading Psalm 3 verse 3, and the psalmist said, many are days that have risen up against me. He said, but thou, O Lord, are a shield. Before I completed it, I jumped up and said, you are the lifter up of my head. The reason I know I can't go down is because of that capsule. It came to me. It came. I caught it. So those who know that miracles are sent, when they are reading, they are looking for what to catch. When they are hearing a message, they are looking for what to catch. So when you hear, it is your season. Pack. You put that one there. You are waiting for another one. You are hearing the message. You hear every embargo. Before they say it's broken, you catch it. You put it there. Because you didn't come to gather information. You came to catch things. The word is katalambano. Oh yeah, it's the transaction of the spirit. You catch things, you receive things, you collect things. It said he was wounded for our transgression. You said there's no transgression in me anymore. He was bruised for our iniquity. You said there's no iniquity in me anymore. By the chastisement of him, we were made whole. You said, I am made whole. That's how you read the Bible. Some people don't know. So what they are reading is to read to quote. Those who know it, this is how they read it. He was wounded for our transgression. What they will pick is that I don't have transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. What they will read is I don't have iniquity. By the chastisement of his peace was upon us. I have peace. By his stripes we were healed. I'm healed. That's how they read the Bible. They are reading to take. They are not reading to gather information. They are not reading to collect information. They are reading to catch. Because every scripture is a capsule. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 12. It says we have not received the spirit that is of this world. It says we have received the spirit that is of God. That we may know the things that are freely given to us by God. It says which things we speak. Not with words of human wisdom, but of the Holy Spirit, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. He said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. They are spiritual in this world. But when it came to us, he said, but we have the mind of Christ. So we judge all things. We have the mind of Christ. This is how you operate. Everything God says is your inheritance. The mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. Is there, are they not ministering spirit? Send forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Really? The next time you go for meeting, you say, I came with angels. You are not quoting Hebrews 1:9. No. No. Are they not ministering spirit? Send forth to minister for them who are heirs. I'm an heir of salvation. So I can come for this meeting now and say, I came with angels. Because the ministering spirit were sent to minister for. By so doing, I have inherited the ministry of angels. That's how we catch things. That's how we grow. That's how we move. Because it's the way and the protocol of the kingdom. You know what he said? In 1 Corinthians 3:21, he said, boast in nothing. He said, all things are yours. Whether the things which are or the things that are to come. So when I walk out, I tell myself, I don't have any lack. I'm not being braggadocious. I just know what I have collected. I know what I've collected. He said, this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. So when I come, I'm not quoting that scripture. I say, who is demonized here? In the name of Jesus, get out. Because in my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. I stand up. Makoranda Sivaka. Regediga Karagas. Ragadadida Taradas. Ropatela. He said, they lay hands on the sick shall recover. So when somebody is sick, I say, come, I lay hands. I'm katalambanoi. That's why I said that the communication of your faith shall become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you. He said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I know that there's nothing in this world that is bigger than me. Nothing in this world. That's why nothing can intimidate me. Nowhere I enter by the power of the Holy Ghost that I'm intimidated. Nowhere. I can choose to honor you because of principle. But if you think you can intimidate me, you are joking. Because greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. So long as you are in the world, so long as you have the world, you are not greater than he that is in me. Can you lift your hands and worship him? Who was and is and is to come? Blessed be the God Almighty, who reigns forevermore.
Who reigns
forevermore.
Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be.
What we call spiritual intelligence. In Acts 19, verse 11 and 12, it said God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. It said handkerchiefs and aprons were taken from him, and he said they cast out devils and healed the sick. And I'm looking at that scripture and I'm saying, but Paul is not here anymore. Paul is not here anymore. And then I check my spirit, and Isaiah 9, verse 8 says, he sent his word to Jacob. He lightened upon Israel. The next thing I jump up, handkerchiefs and aprons were taken from Mike and they were healing the sick. That's how I think. That's how I reason. That's how I operate. Because anything you can catch is yours. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them. So everything you see in the scripture is a sent word to you. The problem is that you have not received it. You have not received it. That's why many don't know how it works. When you are quoting scripture, they are waiting for you to finish and pray for them. When they should be catching things. Catching things. Somebody is being enlarged. Somebody is being enlarged by the Spirit. As you leave this meeting, you'll become a company. You'll become a system. You'll become a company. You'll become a system. And it's to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forever. When you know this, your interaction with the Bible will change. Oh dear Lord, your interaction will so change. He said in John 14:12. He said, the works that I do, shall ye do also, and greater works. If I'm going for a meeting, I'm asking myself, if Jesus were here, what would he do? And then I'm thinking of greater works. I'm thinking greater works. Because if he said it, he said, God is not a man that he should lie. He can't lie. It's forever and ever. See, somebody is coming under an anointing. The anointing of the world. And what this unction is doing for this person is that it's enlarging you to take over. Every limitation that have stood before you until now, they are disappearing. Give that man the mic. Sing that song.
We say blessed.
To come,
blessed be the Lord.
and worship Him. Teaching the UK brethren on Wednesday, and I just told them when I was done teaching, I said, to show you that what I've shared is not a lecture. Now God is healing people. And one of the words God gave was eye condition. And the lady testified, she didn't even know she was driving. It occurred to her that she could read what was on the sign, because she couldn't read those things before. To see if what was happening was real. That was when she discovered. Sometimes you don't even need to know. But when the word goes, your spirit will catch it. Your spirit will catch it. As I'm talking now, the anointing is coming upon people. Most of you who came here with pains and growth in your body, they are leaving you now. Can I add one more? See, miracle is your reality. It's not hard. You don't just know. Every day you open the Bible, you are opening the word of miracles. Catch words and see how your life will change. Every time you are listening to a message, you are entering the realms of miracles. Catch words and see how your life will change. The Lord is telling me now that they will begin something new with someone. Yes, a new season has opened over you. And so go and start that business. Go and start that ministry. Go and start that company. Go and start that organization. In the name of Jesus. Can you take one more? Sit down for a moment. Let me share one more with you. The word brings you the realms of miracles. And imagine how many words are in one Bible. So every day of your life, you should be shuffling words like what, like your wardrobe. The way you pick clothes to wear. That's how you should be picking words. When you are going out today, you go to the place of prayer and scan your spirit until you catch a word. Because the words are coming out of your spirit like a pool. When you read, you put them there. When you pray, you excavate them. And so you're about to go out. You just stare your spirit. Stare your spirit. And then a word jumps out and tells you, you are the head and not the tail. Everywhere you are going that day, you know everybody will serve you. So when you are coming for the meeting, you are just smiling. You just know. And as you are coming, everybody is running around. They want to serve. You are smiling. They don't know why. They think you love honor. No, you know. What is making you laugh is that you know where you excavated it. You know where you got it from. You want to go out another day. You just stirred your spirit. Stirred your spirit. And then the word got up. And so it gave favor to the Israelites. And despite the Egyptians. You just smile. I carry favor. Everywhere you go that day, you are expecting somebody to dash you something. Because this favor is specific. The favor provokes wealth transfer. And when you start receiving a lot, you'll not be surprised. You carried some words. That's why I say carry with you words. Carry with you. Don't only carry clothes. Carry with you words. Carry them. They cause a realm to travel with you. A realm. The other day, I was so tired. I was about going for a meeting. And I was saying, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. And as I was about to step out of the door, I just heard, and they shall lay hands on the sick
and the sick shall recover. I knew that day is not the day of declaration. That day is the day of laying hands. When I entered the meeting, I entered the crowd. I started touching people. Because the moment I caught that word, I entered the realm. That's how we live the Christian life. Practice it. Master it. Live it. Upon the throne. For you are glorious and worthy to be praised. You are the Lamb upon the throne. And on to you
we lift our hands,
we lift our hands in prayer.
You are the Lamb upon the throne.
Embargoes are breaking from people's lives. You have carried an embargo. The devil has placed a limit on you for 10 years, for 15 years. That thing you have not been able to achieve in 10 years, you will achieve it in this month of September. A miracle service is not a healing service. It's a service of anything can happen. Anything can happen. I'm seeing somebody start a building and completing it in the next 60 days. New things are coming out of your life in the name of Jesus. Can the ushers help me? I'm seeing an anointing come on somebody. Towards my right here, there's a strong anointing. Ushers, whoever comes under the anointing now, bring that person to me. There is a power here. You're the Lamb upon the throne.
For you were glorious.
For you are glorious.
You are worthy.
And worthy to be praised.
You are the Lamb
upon the throne. heaven. Those of you in the service team, can you lift your hands? The Lord is increasing His grace on your life. Please, those who come under the anointing now, I want you to bring them to the altar. There is a strong unction for leadership and for excellence. The hand of God comes upon you like a rod of fire. Like a rod of fire. Like a rod of fire. Take! Take! All over this place. Take that power. Bring them here fast. It's a shift for you. Glory. Glory. Bring them to the altar. Glory to the Lamb. Give me glory. Glory. Baranda Saka Regondro Patra Paragate Pesapira Paradonga Rakabaria Panabanda Sara Bando Rakaba Rakaba in prayer. About to make some of you national influences. It is the hand of God at this moment. Father, anoint them now. Anoint them now. Voices in this generation. In the name of Jesus, such as I have. Every one of you with hands lifted. Take! There's an angelic operation going on here now. Some of you, vibrations, your body will come under high tension power in the spirit. In the name of Jesus, those of you on my right, there is a move going through this room. Father, in the name of Jesus, take! Can you lift your hands toward heaven? If you are sick in your body now, whether be it an ear condition, an eye condition, a blood condition, organ infection, bone condition, in the name of Jesus, I address every infirmity now. If Jesus healed those who didn't know Him, in the name of Jesus, every child of God here that is infected or afflicted, I curse that infirmity now. I command sickness to leave your body now. In the name of Jesus. On ground, on land, let ear conditions be healed. Let deaf ears open now. Let blind eyes see. Let growth vanish. Let bone conditions be healed. Let pains go now. Let organ infections be healed now. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands to heaven one more time. To lay hands on people. That's the transfer of virtue. Hallelujah. me now, by the time this month ends, the least you will be is 100 times greater. I'm seeing barren lands becoming fertile. The wilderness is turning to a forest. It's turning to a forest. From a fruitful field to a forest. From a fruitful field to a forest. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. There's a gate of encounter opening here. Barrister Rome, come quickly. There's a gate of encounter opening. Most of you will be brought into realms in glory. And a new operation of the Spirit will begin with you. Levels of authority that you have not known. Come on. Thank you, Father. God is increasing your authority level. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. When the glory comes, there will be no words to say. This season. That means it will make you to become the standard in whatever you are doing. Men will begin to use you as a reference point. Father, according to your word, somewhere in the middle there, I've seen something like a fire. On that right, there's something on this road this evening. In the middle there, where that sister is wearing black, there's a fire descending there. Help them, help them, help them. Help that fire. When the glory comes, there'll be no words to say. Some of you have been taught, and I'm receiving a strange instruction. The Lord wants me to lay hands on everybody that has been taught, healed, imparted tonight, because He's sending them out as an arrow. Now, please hear me. If you have noticed a change in your body, you have noticed a healing, God has touched you already. Can I see your hand? Can you come forward? Can you come? When the glory comes, there'll be no one to see. Oh, 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 oh. Everybody who has been healed tonight is being commissioned. The Lord has asked me to lay hands on them. There's something He wants to do. Whatever He does to you, He will multiply it to you. Yes. What happened to this mama? What happened? Give her the mic. Can we take a few testimonies before I lay hands on them? Oh, what time is up? Quickly. What happened to her? Another person get the mic. Let's be sure. What happened to this sister? Quickly, quickly, quickly. Yes, talk to me.
Mama here had an accident, a ghastly accident.
You had an accident.
People died. Her leg was supposed to be amputated.
Your leg was, I'm seeing the sign. Your leg was supposed to be amputated.
And that actually affected her to the waist.
It affected her
so
bones to
really
the waist.
Stand well. And while you were praying, she laid her hand there. Now she can stand well.
So you were feeling pain and you couldn't stand well. Because of the accident.
I was time managing it and pain was came.
What happened to you now?
When you said to the episode that he was sick, I laid hand on it. I commanded the pain to go when you were saying go.
And the pain left.
Yes.
And you can stand now. Are you just looking? Give the Lord the shout. Come up, mama, come up.
Apostle.
Yes, please.
He had a challenge in his ears that he was hearing sounds.
You had sounds in your ears?
Yes.
You?
And then, yes. And then at his back, he was having this very excruciating.
Can you lower the volume a little? You had a challenge with your left ear.
Yes, sound.
You were hearing sounds.
Sound. Both this part of my brain and this part of
this whole part of your brain.
Yes.
And then
he had pains at his back.
You had a pain on the back. Yes. For how long?
It's just been like maybe 3 days.
You had pain for 3 days.
But the sound has persisted for long.
The sound has been there for long. What happened now?
The power of God touched me. Man.
He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from all their infirmities. Come up, sir. Stop. Mama, you will go out and pray for the sick and they'll be healed. Take that power.
But this brother had a waist condition from birth.
You had a waist condition from birth.
It is hereditary. His father had the same condition.
Hereditary waist condition. What was the challenge?
You could not even bend.
You could not as much as bend.
For long.
Because of the pain.
Yes.
What happened now?
Completely healed.
Completely healed. Come on, sir.
This brother also had a spinal condition.
It is gone forever. And from today, the Lord will use you to solve problems. Take that power.
You need to hear.
We have authority in the economic sphere. And the power to control funds. The Lord exalts your home.
You need to hear this, sir.
Yes, talk to me.
This brother had an accident about a week ago.
You had an accident about a week ago.
Bruises on his face.
There are still bruises on his face.
Yeah, so it affected his left hand so much that he couldn't raise it up.
Your left hand was broken. You couldn't lift it.
A locked left arm. But now he can lift it.
Come on, brother. Your face, there are still bruises on his face. So your left collar, you couldn't lift the hand. Meanwhile, those of you watching online, if you are touched, sending your testimony, you are part of the service. My God, look at his face. The bruises are still there. Can you capture this? That means it's been very recent. It's perfected. In the name of Jesus.
This brother had a spinal
condition. Perfected in the name of Jesus.
Right
go
now,
and do like
right now at the instance of the word, the pain.
You had a spinal condition. What was the problem?
A pain on the spine, very heavy.
On the spine.
Yes.
What couldn't you do before?
My hands.
You couldn't even move your hands. Come up, brother, and you have been healed. Talk to me.
My sister here came here with a lot of fever on her body.
You had fever?
Yes, but it has gone.
What happened to mama?
Mama had noise in her ears.
You had noise in your left ear too.
And then she had typhoid and malaria. She was taking
and it is gone.
Why you
come up, let me lay hands on you. I want to pray for everyone. Daddy, what happened to you? You used to have a pain
over a year now.
Over a year.
I've done scan, I've detected nothing, but this time this pain is there. So while the man of God is preaching, the pain just
the pain left while the word was going on.
Yes.
Can you come up, sir? My God.
Apostle, sir.
Hallelujah.
condition.
You came with an eye condition.
In fact, he went to the hospital and was diagnosed of diabetes.
You were diagnosed of diabetes?
So he came with
and you had an eye condition.
Yes, sir.
What was the challenge with the eye?
I can't see closely.
You couldn't see close objects.
Yes, except far.
Except they are far. What happened now?
I can see close.
You can see clearly. Come on, brother. It's permanent. What happened to him?
He has been a generational case with toothache.
Toothache.
And he affected his dad, affected his elder brother.
And you had that challenge.
And he had that challenge.
What happened to you now?
Thank you. But now the pain is gone. He felt a...
What happened?
Our sister had pain on the left side of her chest for the past 3 years.
For 3 years?
20, but she said that the instance of the
water. What happened to you, child, sister?
I used to have a vibration.
A vibration on your knee?
In my right leg.
A vibration in your right leg? What did it cost you?
I've been going to hospitals, but they don't even know what.
What happened? They couldn't even diagnose it. What happened now?
It's gone.
What happened to this brother? Come up. What happened to you? Let me hear that first. Find out. Now, all of you that are here, I will lay hands on you. Mama, you've been touched. What happened to you, Mama? Oh my God. Oh my God.
She came with pain. That's what she's saying.
Mama, stretch your hand towards me. Father, in the name of Jesus. Let that anointing rest upon her. Take!
Apostle, sir, this young man said he has been suffering from pain that have lasted since his primary school days.
What kind of pain?
In his chest.
On the chest. And it's gone.
And with pain.
Is there anybody here that had a growth in the body? Something swollen in your body that left? Is there anybody like that? Is there anybody like that? My sister. What happened? Can you scan through these people quickly?
Whenever
don't stand. Let me hear some varieties. You had a growth? Find out for me quickly, quickly. What happened to this brother? Ulcer for over 2 years is gone. It's perfected in the name of Jesus. I want to pray for all of you. Can you lift your hands? Let them just pile up in two rows. As I'm praying for them, we will shut down the service. Hallelujah. Now hear this. For this month of September, we are going to fast to the end of the month. How many of you are excited? It is time for everybody to walk in the supernatural. Those of us at leadership level, we've started already. We started on the 1st. But everyone who is part of this family, both on ground here and online all around the world, we are going to start a fast, or we've started a fast. Everybody is expected to join. For our service days on Sundays and Tuesdays, we'll break the fast in the service. If you are a busy person and you get dehydrated, you can drink water. The whole idea is to create focus and sensitivity on God. Is that okay? And then those of you who are connected all around, you join us in that fast. For days that we don't have service, between 5 and 6 p.m., I'm going to be broadcasting from the studio to help you end the prayer. And so we are going to be streaming every day until the end of September. In this fast, God will shift us. The time has come for a shift. Everyone will manifest God. Everyone. So from tomorrow, join in the fast. I'll be beaming. We'll be here for the prayers. Tuesday we'll be here. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we'll be beaming from the studio. 5 to 6 p.m. to end the program. So connect with us. Hallelujah. And then a special announcement also before I start praying for them. Imagine the number of people that have been touched. Can you clap hands for Jesus? Our brethren in the UK will have their first service on Sunday. In the city of London. So those of you who are connecting with us, make contact. Check the website. The details will be there. We'll upload it on our handles. You'll get the venue. And of course, you already have Apostle Eddie's contact. And those who don't have, you'll check the flyer that will be uploading tomorrow so that you make your way. Fellowship and pray in that territory so that something will shift in the land. Are you ready to go tonight? As you walk out of this service, all through September, you will walk through miracles. In this month of September, every embargo of your life breaks. In the name of Jesus, every power and every gang up that have sworn that you will go down, they will die and be buried on your account. In the name of Jesus, in this month, the Lord will exalt your home. Most of you will start new projects in this month. The grace to start and finish, I release upon you now. In the name of Jesus. And finally, an extraordinary grace for speed will come upon you in this month. You will overrun your enemies. You will overrun your contemporaries. You will outrun them. And you will be established in the name of Jesus. And the Lord will make you the reference in this month. Every week you have a fresh testimony. Every day there will be a miracle. And as you keep testifying, the miracles will be multiplying. On ground and online, I decree, so let it be written. So let it be established. In Jesus' precious name. Those of you watching online, you can send in your testimony. A phone number will be uploaded. Send in a WhatsApp message. We'll collect the testimonies. We'll take them on Sunday. And all through this month, they're sending in testimonies. So even if you have not received the miracle tonight, copy that number and be expecting your miracle. The moment the miracle alert comes, send the message. The moment another comes, send. You can send 30 miracles and testimonies this month. Don't say, I've sent one, I won't send. You are supposed to have miracles every day. And so in the name of Jesus, I decree the gate of miracles open over you now.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins. He was raised from the dead for my justification. I, therefore, confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said these prayers, congratulations, you are now a member of the family of God. Kindly send us an email, prayer@encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. God bless you.